You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast.
The following sermon was preached on the 13th Sunday after Pentecost, September 8th, 2019, by the Reverend Lex Breckenridge, rector at St. Thomas.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Christ.
Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost, to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So, therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all of your possessions." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Well, I'm not going to preach on the Gospel text this Sunday, but I think it does bear mentioning right now because it's such a seemingly difficult text, so I will say a word about it. This is one of the texts that scholars call the hard sayings of Jesus, and particularly in Luke's gospel, we often hear Jesus say things that sound startling to us. Hate your mother and father. If you want to be my follower, give up all your possessions, etc. That's hard to hear, and that's on purpose. Jesus, of course, was one of the great orators of his time, and it was an accepted oratorical and rhetorical device to speak hyperbolically in order to get your audience's attention. And so that's what Jesus is doing. He's speaking hyperbolically, but he's saying something very important, and that is, get your priorities straight. Get your priorities straight. So that's something really for us to think about and hold this morning as we move into this new year here at St. Thomas's. What are your priorities? What are our priorities? And let's get them straight, and our priorities will only be straight when God is at the top of the list, right? The great commandment, Jesus sums up the law by saying, what are the two great commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. What's the first one? It's no accident that the first one is love God with all your heart, mind, and strength. When that becomes our priority, everything else is going to fall into place. So just think about that this week. And think about that as we come together today. And I just want to say, welcome home. In this beautiful summer here in the Northwest that's been filled with sunshine and blue skies and mild temperatures, lots of us have taken the opportunity for travel and refreshment and lazy weekends, some of which didn't include church. Now, that's okay. I'm not pointing the finger. I took a few Sundays off myself, and I was grateful for every minute of it. But here we are today. Labor Day's come and gone. Kids are back in school, and it's winter already. I mean, we can already feel things starting to crank up again, and that includes our lives here at St. Thomas. So welcome back. Or better stated, welcome home. Welcome back to your spiritual home, or at least a very important one, I hope, for each one of us. My hope is that for everyone who enters our space, that they'll experience the kind of love and welcome and hospitality that we all long for when we talk about home. A place where we don't have to present our bright, shiny faces to be accepted. A place where we can be vulnerable and open. A place where we can be our real, messy, imperfect selves. And valued for who we are. God's own beloved, and not for what we are. A place where we can be fed with bread and wine and laughter and healing and peace. Bread for the journey. A place where we can learn and grow as followers of Christ. A place where we can be thankful for all the joys of life. And a place where we can even be thankful for life's challenges and life's difficulties. So welcome home. Even if you're here for the first or second or third time, welcome home. Now, all that leads to a question for you. Are you a glass half full or a glass half empty kind of person? You know what I mean? Do you rest in gratitude and peace for the blessings of your life, as imperfect as it may be? Or do you focus on what you lack? Do you focus on what you haven't done or what you don't have? Do you focus on what's missing and live in restlessness and worry? Now, I'll confess that depending on the day of the week or sometimes even the hour of the day, I can swing from half full to half empty to half full again. And I'll also confess that on rare occasions, I can even be a 10% glass empty kind of guy, not allowing myself to rest in the peace and joy of the abundance of life, but instead focusing like a laser on the one or two imperfections in front of me. Ugh. But I'll bet you know what I mean. One thing I've learned over the years is that the way out of the glass half full or even the glass 10% or glass half empty or glass 10% empty funk is to focus on what's good and wonderful and joyful and holy in life. In other words, to focus on gratitude. Count your blessings, my grandmother always said, and she meant it literally. Count your blessings. 1, 2, 3. A friend of mine who's a very accomplished business leader says he begins each day by counting his blessings. Before he even swings his feet out of bed, he counts his blessings. 1, 2, 3. And I've recently been sitting with a person who's terminally ill. She's entering this next chapter of her life with courage and equanimity and grace. A huge key to this peaceful acceptance of what's to come is a years-long practice of hers that before the lights are turned out at night. Without fail, she names 5 things for which she's grateful. May not be the same thing every day, but every day she counts her blessings. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Every day, in other words, she practices gratitude. Now, here's something that shouldn't come as a surprise to us. Neuropsychologists tell us that grateful, positive people are, on the whole, healthier and live marginally longer than those who aren't, than those who are negative. I mean, think about it. It really takes a whole lot less energy to be open-hearted and grateful than it does to be anxious and worried. I mean, just look at your body language. Here I am, open-hearted, grateful, thankful, right? Oh, you can just feel the oxygen coming in, refreshing your lungs, and entering your bloodstream. Your shoulders are relaxed, your arms are relaxed. Oh, I'm just so thankful. Now, I'm worried, right? Things aren't going well. I've got to be in charge of everything, right? You see, you clenched. That takes a lot of energy to do that. So think about that you're expending a whole lot less energy when you're grateful and thankful. Now, over the summer, the vestry, through its committees like the Strategic Planning Committee and the Stewardship Team, along with the staff, have spent a lot of time in discernment about our opportunities and challenges for the coming program year. We're reflecting on what's working well for us here, and we're reflecting on where there's opportunities for growth. The survey that you've all received plays an important role in that discernment, and I hope that all of us will take the time to prayerfully respond to that. Your voice is very important. Your voice needs to be heard. So if you haven't responded to the survey yet, please take a minute and do it. And this program year marks a new season for us here at St. Thomas. as we've been engaging in this summertime discernment, what's emerging for us is that we're grateful, profoundly and deeply grateful for this community, profoundly and deeply grateful for all who are part of this community, and most importantly, profoundly and deeply grateful for the love of Christ that's been given to each one of us and that we work each day to share here. So let's celebrate. Let's celebrate a season of gratitude this year. Now, you'll find a folder attached to your worship sheet. It reminds us in this season of gratitude that living gracefully is gratefully is really a way of life. The Apostle Paul urged the church in Thessalonica to rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And gratitude and thanks are not just for good times. This is our posture for living in all times. Good and bad. Positive and challenging. You know, remember in the night before his arrest and trial and execution, we're told that Jesus gathered his friends around the table, took bread, blessed it, broke it, offered it up to God, and gave thanks. Even in the midst of the worst crisis of his life, Jesus was giving thanks. He was living in gratitude. I mean, how can we do any less? So when you have an opportunity, you'll open this and you'll see inside, there are two boxes here. And we have pens stationed all over the Great Hall. The first box says, I am grateful to God for. And you know, take a moment and prayerfully consider that. And then you can either add your name or not. And the second box says, I'm grateful for St. Thomas because. I presume that by virtue of the fact that you're here today, you're grateful for something here at St. Thomas. Maybe you're grateful when I sit down and shut up. Anyway, reflect on that. Not what I just said. Reflect on what you're grateful for at St. Thomas. And once again, leave your name or not. And we're going to, as we collect these over the next few Sundays, we're going to post them around the Great Hall to give us all an opportunity to share in the gratitude that's expressed there. And it'd be so wonderful, so interesting to see what people are grateful for, both in their lives, outside of St. Thomas and here. So I urge you, encourage you, I invite you to do that. Now, here's how I've filled out my cards. I'm grateful to God for my family, whom I love so dearly. I'm grateful to God for friends who sustain and gladden my heart. I'm grateful to God for work that calls out the best in me. I'm grateful to be alert and upright, sitting up and taking nourishment, my grandfather used to say. And I'm grateful to live in this beautiful part of the country. I mean, what a spectacular summer we've had. And in a country that, for all its challenges, is a land of great hope and promise and blessing. And above all, I'm grateful to God in Christ Jesus, who fills my heart and who continues to call me home to God's own loving heart. The Christ whose face I see all around me in this very moment. And here's why I'm grateful to St. Thomas. I'm grateful to be part of a community of loving and gracious and warm human beings. I'm grateful for the prayers that have sustained me in sickness and in health. I'm grateful to work with committed, caring, talented people as colleagues and friends. I'm grateful to serve in a community that wants to share Christ's love with one another and wants to share Christ's love with all who come through our doors and wants to share Christ's love with all the world. I'm grateful that you have asked me into your lives for these last 10 years, and I'm grateful that you've called me friend. So what are you grateful for? And what would it look like to live each day, each moment, grounded in that gratitude? Now, Jesus has plenty to say about gratitude. And I'm going to share with you right now, comes from the Sermon on the Mount. and it comes straight from Jesus' own lived experience. Imagine, if you will, a group of seekers and friends and people who are just plain curious sitting around Jesus on the top of this mountain. And I'm going to read this passage to you from this wonderful modern translation by Eugene Peterson called The Message. And it's familiar, but when you hear it in this modern translation, I think it might speak to you in a slightly different way. So Jesus says to his friends, "Has anyone, by fussing in front of the mirror, gotten taller by so much as an inch? All this time and money wasted on fashion, you think it makes that much difference? Instead of looking at the fashions, walk out into the fields and look at the wildflowers. They never primp or shop. But have you ever seen color and design quite like it? The 10 best dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way God works fuss over these things. But you know both God and how God works. Steep your life in God reality. Steep your life in God initiative. Steep your life in God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. Don't have FOMO. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes." Now, that's pretty wonderful, isn't it? Relax, Jesus says. Don't be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. I mean, you'll find that all your everyday human concerns will be met, he says, which is to say, live in gratitude for what is. The world God has created for you is shot full of grace. So relax. You don't have to be in charge of everything. It's not all up to you. I mean, isn't that good news? It's not all up to you. And as the apostle says, rejoice in all things. Rejoice. Pray in all circumstances and give thanks in all circumstances, good and bad, day in and day out. Give thanks to God. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.